And that music tells us it is time for Talk of the Bay right here on K-Squid Community Radio for the Monterey Bay Area. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Goodman. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about threats to nonprofits around the country with the bill that they passed, H.R. 9495. We'll be tracking that. But today we're going to be talking about opportunities for grassroots support of nonprofits in your own community, the role they play, the things they do for us that we might not even know they're doing because they're behind the scenes, and how you can get involved, either as a volunteer or a donor or both. There's a lot of ways to get involved, and there's a lot of lonely people out there, and it's a perfect match to come out of the woodwork and serve a meal, build a house. There's so many other ways you could get involved. Here, joining me on the airwaves are people who are very deeply involved with that process in the nonprofit world. They are Karen Delaney of the Volunteer Center.
Hi, Rachel.
And Leslie Lee, also of Santa Cruz Gives. And we're going to talk about what that is in just a moment. But welcome to both of you.
Hi, Rachel. It's great to be here.
Really love being here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, as I did the introduction, I told you how we were worried, you know, about nonprofits, but they're thriving in this country. I read somewhere there's 1.48 million nonprofit 501c3s in the United States.
Yeah, we lead the world in nonprofits and have for quite some time. And it is really something that's kind of amazing and unique. I like to think of nonprofits as the place where all the hopers and dreamers are, because the whole idea of a nonprofit is you get people together in pursuit of a hope that they could make the world better in some way, right? That's what they have in common. They declare their hope, sort of like a declaration of independence, but it's really a declaration of a hope and then a strategy for what they're going to do and invite other people to join with them to do to actually make that hope real for all of us. So it's sort of the place where activists and dreamers come together. And the whole nonprofit world, which is why I love the nonprofit world, is it's this great combination of being deeply rooted in a community like where you are right now, the trash right in front of you, the plants that need nourishing, the people who are your neighbors that you're not going to step over or look away from. So it's very deeply rooted in place and time, but it also is very forward thinking. It's like we are empowered to make the world better right now. We don't need anyone's permission. We don't need to wait. We just have to have the will to do it. So it's a very sort of joyful sector normally, even though nonprofits often deal with problems and sad things. It actually is, on the whole, a hopeful, joyful, very satisfying place to volunteer or work or join as a donor.
And that's Karen Delaney of the Volunteer Center, and we'll talk about the Volunteer Center in just a moment. Leslie, how did you get involved in this? And you've been part of nonprofits. How do you see them in the big world, you know, from the 30,000-foot level, looking down on all these nonprofits? What is their role?
That's a great question. I think nonprofits are the problem solvers. They're filling the gaps between business and government, really, and they're the boots on the ground, seeing what communities really need, both in the local sphere, like right here in Santa Cruz County, and also on the grand national level as well.
And we have nonprofits in this county that range from really big ones, mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. millions of dollars a budget, to tiny little ones.
I think that's what people don't really understand about nonprofits in general, but also about local nonprofits, because that is true. There are like the big worldwide or national brands like United Way, but the vast majority of nonprofits nationally, and in our community, the vast majority of nonprofits are very small organizations that are either, about a third of them are all volunteer. They have no paid staff at all. I mean, they still need money to work, but they have no paid staff at all. Or they might have like one or two paid staff, very part-time. And they really are where the average person, where average people can kind of find their tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the group of people who share, have a deep, abiding joint interest in something that's meaningful to you. And when you're doing something that's meaningful or purposeful, there's kind of a magic about that. You know, we know that it's good for us, whether it's a nonprofit or anytime. We know that when we're connected to things that are meaningful to us, we feel better, we're healthier, we're happier. There was a new study I was reading yesterday that just said, that was looking at retrospective data, trying to figure out what really affects longevity. One of the biggest predictors of like living a little bit longer than average is, do you feel like you're doing something purposeful? Do you have a, does your life have a purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? And are you getting to spend time in your purpose?
You must have listened to the same program I listened to because they were talking about blue zones where people live extra long and they tried to figure out what they all had in common. This was a disproportionate number of centenarians. And one of the main things was a reason to be living, you know, something to do in your community or be useful, even if it was, even especially if it was raising the next generation.
It is interesting. Happiness is a great feeling, but it's fleeting and we don't control what the universe throws at us. But the idea that, you know, you can be an actor in the world, you can do something that is meaningful to your family, to your neighbors, to the earth, to the arts, and leave a legacy in that way. There's just something about that that really works on our souls, really. It works on our health, works on our souls, and brings people together. You know, we live in a time where there's a lot of things that divide us, but the fact that nonprofits are organized, like the organizing idea, what brings people together, isn't anything external. It's not money, it's not stuff, it's not political affiliation, it's entirely internal. What do I choose to think is important in this world? That is a really great way to make connections with people. And, you know, we all, Leslie and I were talking about how, you know, connecting for good, which is what we try and do at the Volunteer Center, find ways for people to connect for good. It really is the antidote to so many things. If you're feeling hopeless, connecting with a cause you care about is the antidote to hopelessness, because you're actually doing something that you can see immediate results in your neighborhood. If you're feeling lonely, depressed, or sad or depressed, getting out and doing something purposeful with other people, mm-hmm, is the antidote to that. If you're unhappy with the policy direction, taking direct action. It's not, complaining is a thing. And, you know, and there's lots of ways on social media to express our disdain and our complaints, but does that really make us feel better?
Well, I know that people tend to do a lot of doom scrolling on their phones, which makes them feel worse because there are things they can't directly impact. And so what we're talking about here are things that have a visible effect when you put your energy behind them. And I know for the 150 or so volunteers here at K-Squid, the hours we spend, a lot of them are fun and joyful. Some of them are, you know, just doing the fundraising part, but the other things are pretty fun. Like we put on a big concert once a year and everybody's smiling, you know, even if they're just parking cars, it's something they're doing to make the whole thing happen. And often those people are invisible to the public, but they are having a good time too. And I think that's the bottom line, is if you can have fun volunteering for a nonprofit, you're doing something for other people. You focus your own energy away from your own problems and try to solve something. There have been critics, of course, who say that this activity in the nonprofit sector takes, you know, the onus off of the government to solve our social ills. And I don't know, that's a huge area where I don't know what to say about that, except that, yes, that's the way our system seems to have developed. And I don't know if it's entirely bad because of what you said, that there isn't a huge amount of red tape involved in setting up one of these nonprofits. You just put in the work.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I've heard and read a lot about that too. And the way I look at it is this, that you have to start where you are, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to start where you are, and two things can happen at one time. People can walk and chew gum. It is possible for someone to spend time helping a person who is unhoused and unsheltered and educating the community about the, you know, the root causes of homelessness and advocating for a return to sane housing policies and housing investments. Not only, to me, it's a false equivalency to say you have to choose.
Yeah.
And the way that we're trying to think differently in our work too, and talk to people about, you know, in every life, we have a whole range of tools that we can use, right? Sometimes we can use our voice as advocates. We can use our knowledge to educate people and try and change hearts and minds. We can use our networks and our affiliations to try and build support. We can use our time and our money to take direct action that makes life better right now. And we can use them any way we like. That's the great thing about a free and thriving society, is, you know, nobody has the whole answer to every problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody can predict the future. So in my way of thinking, a free, thriving, healthy community invites everybody to bring all their gifts to the table all the time. And there's nothing, it's not like you have to stand still and call each other names to have a healthy debate, right? Like, that's how our politics is working right now, but that's not the only way it could work.
There's many angles, as you said.
Yeah.
That's Karen Delaney of the Volunteer Center and of Santa Cruz Gives, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. And I'm also here with Leslie Lee. You know, we have gone through a lot of intensity right recently with the election and changes that are speculated to be coming down the pike, and we don't know what they are, which I think is a weird place to be in. Yeah. This kind of limbo land where there's a lot of news coverage about what ifs, and what ifs are just that. There's heavy speculation. They're based on some things that were written down and said, so they're not just coming out of the air, but they do provide kind of this strange interregnum before things do change. And nonprofits are kind of wondering how that's going to affect them in terms of fundraising if the economy gets worse. It's just impossible to know. So here we are, you know, at the dawn of 2025. And there's this moment too where nonprofits always reach out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And talk about their mission. And tell me if I'm wrong or right, either of you. There was this myth, I think it's a myth, that you're not allowed to even advocate if you're a nonprofit. There's some rules about political advocacy, but you are allowed to advocate for your own survival.
Yeah.
So do you know?
I do know a lot about the rules for advocacy. So nonprofits are not allowed to be involved in partisan electoral politics, right? So you can't advocate for or against particular people, for or against particular parties. But you can educate people and advocate for the issues that you're involved in. And you can, and for like for your own survival, you can encourage people who are your members to learn, and you can encourage people to, for example, vote. You can help people register to vote. You can't be partisan about it. But when it comes to, you can take positions. So, for example, we have taken positions in the past at the Volunteer Center about things that would be a disincentive, changes in the tax code that would be a, you know, just explaining to people who don't understand, you know, at a time when actually donations to small nonprofits has been declining. If you change the tax code in certain ways, that makes it harder for nonprofits and faith-based organizations to keep their doors open. And so, it, you know, taking, explaining to everyone, if you do X, Y is likely to happen because of this is what we see and hear among our volunteers. So that's why you often see child care centers when they're talking about, you know, debates about policies about helping working families. I mean, nonprofits do have expertise that can be shared, and you can advocate on nonpartisan policy issues that affect your organization and the people you serve.
So an example might be Second Harvest Food Bank, you know, suddenly finds out that SNAP is going to be cut. You know,
exactly.
It's on the chopping block. Somebody, you know, this DOGE committee is talking about these major social safety net programs being sliced. So if perhaps that happens, then they can talk about that.
Absolutely. You know, we have, that's an, there have been times over the years where, programs that really help support volunteering, like AmeriCorps, RSVP, Senior Companion, have been on the chopping block for total elimination. When you think of a great program like AmeriCorps Vista that's been around since the Kennedy administration, or you know, how many people that are now in leadership positions in business and in community started out as AmeriCorps members and spent a year or two doing grassroots jobs at poverty wages, like next to free, to really learn about communities from the ground up, or the way that AmeriCorps helps people who would never get an education otherwise go to college by performing 3 years of service to your community. I mean, it's a win-win that's been proven over and over again. So yeah, we always stand up for AmeriCorps and programs like that.
Great to know. If you just joined me, this is Talk of the Bay on Community Radio, K-Squid. We are also run by a nonprofit, the Natural Bridges Media. We incorporated back in 2017 to run 90.7, and then we expanded to 89.7 and 89.5, and we have a board of directors of 10. And we are part of something called Santa Cruz Gives, which is, happens every year. And it's a crowdfunding site where 64 or so nonprofits put their wish list, their Santa list, up online. And people come by and drop money in their stocking, their electronic stocking. Maybe that's a way to put it. Leslie, tell us a little bit about how it all works. And in case anybody wants to donate to any of these nonprofits, and ours in particular, they can do that.
Yeah, so Santa Cruz Gives is a collaborative community fundraising effort, and it brings together, we have 63 nonprofits this year, and the way it works really is that, and this is the beauty of it, is that as a donor or somebody who wants to give back and support these organizations, you can come in and look and choose which organizations resonate with you or whose causes you resonate with. You might not know the group by name, but you might care about beaches or dogs or kids, whatever it might be. Learn a little bit about what they're doing in our community, and then you can choose to give as little as $5. You can give a minimum donation of $5 to as many of the organizations that you like.
You know, it'd be a really fun thing to do with a kid is say, here's, you know, $200. and go online and just spend as many of it as you want in different places and have them get to choose based on some of their favorite things.
I love that idea. We have had a few families share with us that that is what they do on Thanksgiving. So they'll have a Thanksgiving gathering and then pull up. Actually, I think it was one of the nonprofits yesterday. We had a little nonprofit meeting, and one of the board members, another all-volunteer organization. So that's what she did on Thanksgiving. She pulled it up and said, all right, everybody, let's donate.
That's a great, great way to make a difference all at once and make your party about something more than just eating, as fun as that is. So how does it work exactly? A lot of people get confused by the idea of a matching fund. They're giving, but and it gets amplified somehow by some other pot of money. One of our listeners asked that, and I answered it the best I can.
Sure.
But I think it'd be nice to have you explain it clearly.
Yeah, so Santa Cruz Gives has a group of sponsors, some really generous sponsors from the community, who all donate to what we call the matching fund.
Do you want to give them a shout-out?
I do want to give them a shout-out.
I mean, so we should give credit where credit
we
is.
We absolutely do. They're on my little list, you think. So we're graciously... So Santa Cruz Gives itself is a partnership between Good Times, the Community Foundation of Santa Cruz County, and the Volunteer Center. So we all contribute our own...
staff.
Our staff and our skills and our resources to support the group each in its way. The Good Times has, you know, they're a trusted storyteller in the community, and they share the good work amongst their readership and lend the marketing skills. The Community Foundation connects the organizations to donors in our community and shares resources with them and helps them create new relationships. And then the Volunteer Center, we're the fiscal sponsor, so we share staff and help make sure we lend our nonprofit status to Santa Cruz Gives so that everything's tax deductible. And then we have sponsors. So our sponsors are the Monterey Peninsula Foundation, the Applewood Foundation, Driscoll's, the Joe Collins Fund, the 1440 Foundation out of 1440 Multiversity, Santa Cruz County Bank, Wynn Capital Management, and then the Pajaronian and Press Banner also are sponsors.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's great. And so what's the total pot that you managed to raise from all of those?
Right now it's at about, I believe it's $230,000. So the way the match works, it's called prorata. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, prorata.
Prorata. So the match is based on the percentage that each organization raises. So if 1% of the total net of the campaign, then your match is 1% of the matching fund. So the more you raise, the more you match.
The more you raise, the more you get.
Yes, exactly.
All right, you donors to K-Squid, get on it. We're 23rd.
Get on it.
there is a leaderboard. I think we're 23rd, so you can do the math.
There is.
But there's lots of time to climb that leaderboard.
That's right.
Well, and that's what's really exciting. And you'd mentioned, I think, at the start, just this uncertainty in the nonprofit community, like what's going to happen. And it was interesting today, I was reading from the Giving Tuesday, the foundation behind that campaign, that Giving Tuesday did really well nationwide. And the trend is such that when there's uncertainty, especially around a highly emotional election, donors tend to pull back and wait. But once that's happened and people are like, okay, this is what's going on, then they come back. And so we're seeing a lot of major donors contribute again, and people are feeling like they can, okay, I need to take action, this is what I want to do, I'm going to get involved. So,
you know, one of the factors that we haven't really mentioned that is related to the election is how much people gave to various candidates, feeling like they needed to get behind a particular campaign and push really hard. So they gave maybe more than they usually do. I wonder how that is going to play out. And we'd also saw some millionaire donors getting involved and slugging it out. But I'm talking about more like, you know, the donor base of all the nonprofits has tapped into their wallets and maybe are feeling tapped out, but we'll find out, huh? We don't know yet.
It's
early days. I can say we are just really hopeful because the great thing about Santa Cruz Gives is it's all local organizations. And I think particularly for people who are feeling sad about the election or like really worked hard, there and do have that sense of impending, maybe doom. Not doom, but just like...
Go ahead, say it.
Yeah. Impending, like, what is going to happen soon? This is a way that you... Like, this is a way that Santa Cruz gives and shoring up the people who are out there every day not paying attention to what's going on. It's like shoring up the people who are out there every day being earth stewards, taking care of children, providing homes and protection and help for immigrants. You know, this is a way that we can kind of call folks together and sort of hedge our bets for, you know, maybe we're going to have to be unhappy with things that are happening lots of other places, but this is our home, right? This is our home. These are our neighbors, and we can choose to share. That's the bet. That's why I'm hopeful. I've lived and worked in this community long enough to know that if we just keep reminding people that there's at the Volunteer Center, whether it's Santa Cruz Gives or volunteering or other things we're doing, like our true north is, are we always trying to make it easier for people to just do a good thing right now? Mm-hmm. You know, people could, you're feeling anxious, instead of doom scrolling, look at the beautiful movies on the Santa Cruz Gives website and, you know, give $5 to Senderos to celebrate the Oaxacan culture and support immigrant families. I mean, $5, it's not much. I mean, you could go every day. It's an alternate. We're constantly looking for these little things that give people real actions. And then the nice thing about Santa Cruz Gives too is because it's all local people and all local volunteers, like, you know, this, they see the donors, unless the donors say, I want to be anonymous. And Leslie's very humble, but she does a great job of taking all these little organizations, all these small organizations that don't have the funds or the capacity to compete with crowdsource platforms or these big national and international organizations. By us coming together and having this available and then Leslie training people how to use it, little organizations don't have to have a social media director and a development director and a fancy website and a payment portal, because we'll do all that for you. All you have to do is tell your story and be nice to the new friends you make who gave you money, mm-hmm. and invite them to share in your joy. And we see really high retention rates year over year with Santa Cruz Gives donors, because when people do that, because it is fun to meet like the great people at K-Squid. It's fun to be invited to see the kids dance in Watsonville in their Oaxacan costumes at Senderos, or to, you know, go to a dedication or take a walk with elders from the Amamutsin tribe on some of the land that they're restoring. And these are like little treasures that people don't even know are in our community every day. It's like you said, it's like all these quiet secret, like it's like a hidden secret little community for good. And the doorway really is to just spend a little time having curiosity and giving small gifts of time and money to see all these great things that are happening.
We're going to give out the website and take a quick break, and we'll be right back talking about how you can get involved in the nonprofit world. My guests are Karen Delaney of the Volunteer Center and Leslie Lee, also of the Volunteer Center and Santa Cruz Gives. This is KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman, and the program is Talk of the Bay. We will be back shortly.
Support for KSQD comes from Santa Cruz Gives, a holiday giving campaign for 63 local nonprofits. Learn more at santacruzgives.org, donations online, or by mail through December 31st. presented by Good Times with support from the Volunteer Center, the Community Foundation of Santa Cruz County, and local sponsors. Thank you, Santa Cruz Gives, for supporting Community Radio, K-Squid.
This holiday season, consider giving to KSQD, your community radio station. Your gift will go even farther when you donate through Santa Cruz Gives, a community crowdfunding site. The more you give to KSQD on that site, the more matching funds they give us. Simply visit santacruzgives.org/KSQD to make your gift today. Your contribution will help expand access to the airwaves for citizen journalists from Watsonville, nonprofit organizations, youth, seniors, musicians, and others. Donations of $100 or more can receive a K-Squid hat or t-shirt. That's santacruzgives.org/KSQD.
Have you ever asked yourself, what does being healthy mean, really? Is it the absence of disease or a state of optimal function? How can I decide which treatment to choose when presented with a variety of options? How do I maximize my healthy lifespan? You can get answers to these questions and more at Ask Dr. Don here on KSQD every Thursday night at 6 p.m.
You're listening to K-Squid, 90.7 FM, 89.7 FM, and 89.5 FM. Also streaming live on the web at ksqd.org. We also have a mobile app you can download in your app store. It is a big time for nonprofits toward the end of the year. Karen, I read somewhere that a huge proportion of giving happens. It's just like small businesses that rely on Christmas. Yes. It's the same for nonprofits. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it is, I think, about 80% of the dollar value of giving happens in November and December for nonprofits overall. And it's particularly true for first-time givers and first-time volunteers. I think there's just so much messaging about giving and receiving and thankfulness at the end of the year, that nonprofits being entrepreneurial just kind of go for it, which is great. And so there is, you know, the whole season of giving is a wonderful idea. It's kind of why Santa Cruz Gives made sense to us when we were approached by the Good Times to see if we wanted to partner. Because it's like, well, if it's something that people naturally want to do, why wouldn't we want to make it easier for them to do that and better and more effective? And what's kind of great about it is the giving isn't just to holiday-related things, right? It's this idea of giving meaningful gifts and expressing your gratitude. You know, the first year we did Santa Cruz Gives, where we didn't know what was going on, I was kind of obsessed. I was like on my phone constantly, which was not, like, when I'm not at work, I'm not on my phone. And my adult kids noticed it, because I was always like, look at this Santa Cruz Gives thing. People are actually giving to it. And so for Christmas that year, my kids had gone to Santa Cruz Gives and made gifts in my honor to a number of nonprofits. Yeah. And like printed out the little receipts. And I was like, that's exactly right. That's the perfect gift for mommy this year. Because, nice. You know, I just loved the idea of if everybody comes together and does something that makes them feel good, it all adds up. Like right now on Santa Cruz Gives, we still have, what, 3.5 weeks to go? And we're over $1 million.
That's awesome.
For local nonprofits.
That's awesome. And it's such a contrast to Black Friday, where you're just encouraged to go out and shop your head off. And a lot of times, you know, you're buying things for people you don't know if they're going to like. They take it back. And it doesn't necessarily make you feel good or them. It's sort of a transactional moment. I know small businesses need the business, so I don't want to encourage people to completely stop shopping, but
no.
I think about the Reverend Billy, who talks about consumer debt, and I think about all the need that there is in our community and how much better it will be when we all give a little more toward them and a little less toward Amazon. Let's be blunt here. So Leslie, tell us a little bit about some of the things you are looking forward to have happen, and maybe some highlight a few of the nonprofits. You know, of course, we talked about K-Squid because we're selfish beings, sure, and we want to stay alive, and we want you to give to this station through Santa Cruz Gives. But we also want you, while you're there, to check out all the other nonprofits. What are some of the ones that maybe no one's heard of that probably deserve a lot of support?
Oh, my gosh. There's a few. Well, this year we actually have about 10 brand new nonprofits to Santa Cruz Gives. So they're quite small in terms of, like Karen had said earlier, there's no staff. And I need to actually look at my list really quick. Oh, one of the groups that I think a lot of people might not be aware of is, maybe you are, but one of the groups that I've noticed has really taken advantage of the opportunity of Santa Cruz Gives is the Welcoming Network.
We've had them on the show. That's the group that finds housing and jobs for recent immigrants.
Yes.
Refugees. Yes. Yeah.
And so they're all volunteer, and we've been able to see over the past few years, at least from when I've started, how an organization that is so grassroots can really grow and turn a campaign like Santa Cruz Gives into more than just an annual fundraising campaign. It's actually increasing their capacity. And every year they're growing and they're having a bigger reach and reaching more supporters. So something like that is really beautiful.
And the need's going to get even greater with the threats against immigrants.
Absolutely.
So they're in a good position to be growing right now for the community.
Absolutely. Another thing that I'm excited about with Santa Cruz Gives this year is the nonprofits collaborating together. And so we've been trying to encourage this concept of the rising tide lifts all boats. And that's really the background of Santa Cruz Gives. It's not a contest per se. It might be a little bit competitive, but at the end of it, it's a place to give. And so we have nonprofits working together to raise awareness, but also to support their mission. So for example, Farm Discovery is giving apples to the Teen Kitchen Project, who will then cook with the apples and then deliver whatever they've cooked. I didn't ask him. I'm going to say pies. They're going to take the pies.
I'll take the pies.
Yeah, I'll take an apple pie. They'll take the pies to their program beneficiaries. And that's beautiful. And I think that is a bigger picture of what's really going on that is worth exploring.
I remember during the CZU fire, we ended up as this kind of distribution hub for people mm-hmm. wanting to spontaneously help. You know, there were people at the Civic Center just sitting there sheltering with nothing to eat. Mm-hmm. And a woman called in and volunteered a giant pot of soup for 50 people. Where can I bring it? And I told her, bring it to the Civic. And, you know, these kind of spontaneous partnerships are really cool when they arise. And sometimes they're spontaneous, sometimes they're planned for years. But we're all over that. And we're reaching out to the Friends of the Library to teach people how to tell stories about their immigrant journey here. We love that idea of people teaming up, because the ideas of one organization, maybe they haven't thought of what it would be like to work with another or three other nonprofits. So it's a cool thing that you're spawning there. And the pies are delicious, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Darn. Could you deliver one right now? Supposedly I ate enough pie to last the next year, but if you just joined us, we're talking about nonprofits in general this time of year and how important it is. 80% of their funding comes to them just during these next few weeks. So if you're one of the people who likes to give, this is a great opportunity. If you're one of the people, you know, who just wants to volunteer, this is also a good time. I know a lot of people showed up at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz to help mm-hmm. serve the Thanksgiving meal. Mm-hmm. In fact, they had so many that funnel them off to other jobs.
Yeah, that often happens.
Which is so cool, like having too many volunteers. It's a nice problem in a way.
It is a nice problem. And we do have we have the Santa Cruz Gives website, where if people really want this idea of small amounts of money. If people who love the crowdsource local giving and kind of exploring the community. We also have an online, on our website, scvolunteercenter.org, we have a holiday volunteering guide. So we try and gather all the volunteer opportunities from all of our nonprofit and faith and school partners. And you can search it by location or time available and find holiday volunteer opportunities where if you want to... I know everybody loves to serve the meals, but the reality is that after COVID, that's one of the things that people are doing less of. But there's lots of great holiday volunteer opportunities to help at food pantries, to help at, in our adoptive, we run an adoptive family program, and we have 500, we work with about 40 nonprofit partners that work with families. We have 558 families that have been adopted. We have 37 families still waiting to be adopted. And then we have 400 kids on the waiting list. And, you know, we are looking for, we, if you go to our website and click the adoptive family, you know, people can come down to the warehouse and sign up for a shift and help sort gifts and package for families. People can go onto our website or to any of our business partners and pick up one of our little stars for kids on the waiting list and buy something that a local kid has asked for, and we'll make sure it gets to their family before Christmas. And then if people are just really too busy, they can also buy food gift certificates at any grocery store or send us to a we have volunteer shoppers. So if people are too busy and they want to just send a donation to shop for the families and kids, I'm the one who takes them down to to our business partners. And it's like, okay, we've got an hour. We're shopping for 50 kids today. Here's the list. Go for it. So
I guess one of the problems someone going to Santa Cruz Gives or to your holiday list might have is that it's just overwhelming. There's so many different ones, 63 different nonprofits, but it's categorized, right? So you can sort of look at environmental nonprofits. You can look at, I think we're under arts and culture. And our big idea is to have these workshops to train the next generation of journalists, because we're going to need them to do really good, hard-hitting news stories so we can know what's happening in our own community. And we're going to have these at the local libraries. And each one of the nonprofits that is on there has their own idea that your money will fund. So it's kind of a nice connection between your funds and what you're helping support. It's very specific.
Yeah, it is a really, the website does a really good job and the agencies do a really good job of saying, this is what we need help with right now. And, you know, here's how much it's going to cost us and you can help us do that. And the great thing about it is hard. There's lots of search categories, and people will often say, well, what should I do? Like, where am I needed most? And I think the real, after working with volunteers my whole life, I really think the best outcome for everyone is if people do what is most meaningful for them and what works for them. So it's okay. It's okay if you don't have very much time and you need to bring your kids along. Then when you go to our website, there's a little search button. I can bring my kids and go to the family-friendly volunteer opportunities. Or it's okay. I also think a lot of times people are afraid to make that first small gift or show up to volunteer because they think you have to make a minimum commitment.
Or they think you're going to bombard them with spam in their mailing list, which we don't do.
Unlike political parties, I will tell you, no local nonprofit has the time or the money to do that. Like those sorts of things are important, but they're really expensive. Like that's the great thing about volunteering with local organizations. It's like they're just people like you and me, and they're just trying to do the best they can do, and they need some help, and they're grateful if you help once or you come back every week.
Right, exactly. So there's an opportunity to give money or time in both of those are to be found in the Volunteer Center website or the Santa Cruz Gives website. I want to give a shout out too to Monterey County Gives because they're doing the same thing.
Yes.
And we reach Monterey County, and it's connected to the Monterey County Weekly. So both weeklies in our region are participating in a Gives program. So if you're listening in Monterey County, you can give to K-Squid through Santa Cruz Gives. You don't have to be in our county to give.
Yeah.
The internet is everywhere. But you probably have some good choices through Monterey County Gives as well. And it's nice that it's all in one place. I think that's the best part of these kind of sites is they're one-stop shop for donating to local nonprofits. They're not. You can see the results of them by walking around your community. If you see people picking up trash, you might have helped fund that.
It's true. Or if you like the trails or you appreciate the clean beaches, like you can make your donation is, yes, supporting the nonprofit's efforts to do those work, but it's also a gift to yourself because you enjoy that space that they've created, or a gift to your neighbors or your daughter or your son or whoever enjoys doing those things. So,
and you can make it a gift to yourself because maybe you're funding something you really care about and you don't have the time or energy or wherewithal to go volunteer, but you do have the funds. So there's many ways to know that you made a difference. It's certainly true that when I give to a national nonprofit, as much as I do that, I don't see the result as directly as I do, for example, with Save Our Shores. I see they are organizing beach cleanups, and I see the beach is cleaner the next day. So it worked. You don't always see that nationally, as important as those organizations are to support. Mm-hmm. They're different than our own local nonprofits. Any idea how many we have here in Santa Cruz County?
I know that we have about 300 on our list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always discovering new ones all the time. There's a lot of very small groups that just are people who believe strongly in something. And it is kind of amazing if you think about, like, when we were talking about our sponsors in Monterey Weekly and Santa Cruz Weekly, a shout out to Jeannie Howard, who was going to be here, but is home, not feeling well. Jeannie Howard, who is the former publisher of Good Times Santa Cruz. Good Times Santa Cruz and Monterey Weekly, this really was their brainchild, the Monterey Gives and Santa Cruz Gives. And this was a passion project, particularly for Jeannie. And she brought all the other partners to the table. And even after she retired, has worked tirelessly to build Santa Cruz Gives. And it is an amazing thing to see, you know, when people are feeling like, well, we're powerless or what can we really do? I think people forget how impactful, like, one person that uses their voice and their networks and just doesn't give up.
Yay, Jeannie.
Can bring a lot of folks along, can get a lot done. I know, Rachel, you and, three or four other people had the idea that there should be local radio. There should be local public radio, that's an important thing. And we're sitting in this beautiful studio. Like, people matter. That's the other thing about nonprofits. It's our neighbors. It's really just us. Like, we are taking responsibility for our own community. So the answer to what's the best volunteer job for me, where should I give my money? It's like, where you feel passionate in a local organization where you can be a part of it. Because then you're exactly right. You see the effect of your money, and we started this discussion talking about how many nonprofits there are. There are places in the world where usually it's after repressive regimes or after great trauma, where there's no nonprofit sector. And even sadder, there's no idea that people could just do stuff. It's like, well, how am I going to do that? Well, how, you know. But it is kind of an amazing thing that we have that is precious. It's like you get 10 people together with an idea and they can change their community for better. You know, does it take work? It takes money. But when you're giving to a nonprofit, you're also giving to that huge tradition that the world can be better just because we choose it to be so. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. Not every place even has that idea.
Yeah. There are community radio stations in really far-fetched places. There's even an organization of international community radio, and every little village or place, you know, out there that has one has a different kind of feel when you listen, but it's the same thing they're doing. They're talking about where to get food and where to find shelter and who lost a dog. It's very localized. And when you said, you know, that there wasn't a station and now there is, that can happen with just about any idea. It just takes a lot of willpower and passion and also the legal aspect of setting it up. But yeah. Once it's set up, it starts to get a momentum of its own and attract people. There were already people who wanted this to happen here, mm-hmm. beyond the, you know, the five or six of us who made it happen. There was a strong feeling that they had lost something when the other station went down, and people wanted to bring that feeling back, and we're so lucky we got a lot of the program hosts that were orphaned by the last station dying back in the fold, you know. And Dawn Motika is coming up in about 5 minutes, and she was on the other station with me, and she's going to be on here and giving out, you know, health ideas and education. The other thing we love to do and that we're doing right now in this program is we like to amplify the voices of nonprofits. It's not that easy in the cluttered world of media to get heard and have your mission out there and to educate people about what your nonprofit is all about. And that's one of the things we pride ourselves in, is just, if you look at our guest list, we interview about 1,000 people a year. And of those, yeah, it's a huge number of people just coming through, whether they're musicians or nonprofit leaders or politicians or everyday people at the hot dog stand. We had an interview with the hot dog guy recently. And he had a fascinating tale. We all hold these stories, and so do the groups hold stories that they're trying to bring about change. And I think by amplifying those stories, we're providing a mission that we set out to do, which is just be a big, big old huggy place for the community to gather and electronically be together when things are tough or when they're fun. And I'm happy to be able to talk about Santa Cruz Gives tonight in that spirit of just saying we're all working really hard, and there's some incredible creative people in this community doing stuff.
It really is amazing to, even if you can't afford to give, to just look at the stories, because you were saying, like, just what if there's, you know, what if Beth Love founded ETH for the Earth, like, maybe 3-4 years ago, with the idea of, like, what if everybody had the opportunity to learn how to eat in a way that was healthy and good for the planet? What wasn't hard, or you didn't have to buy books, or what if people who have physical disabilities could still enjoy outdoor sports and this beautiful, what if they could surf, and what if they could have the experience of biking, and what if kids from low-income houses or kids with disabilities their families are never going to be able to afford a horse could have a place where they could go and ride horses. You know, some of them are really almost like whimsical dreams, and some of them are just really practical. Hey, what if everybody had food? What if everybody had a safe place to sleep at night? So there are all these amazing stories of every kind that are, people are trying to make, are making them come true little bit by little bit, and we can all support that.
Well, you are. And I want to thank you for coming in and talking about Santa Cruz Gives and all the things you do at the Volunteer Center, the two of you and Jeannie, the three of you are really the powerhouse behind it. And you speak about it so eloquently and inspiringly that I hope people will check out the website at SantaCruzGives.org. There we go. I'm so used to saying the other one. SantaCruzGives.org is the place to find all of these nonprofits, including K-Squid. And you can go shopping for giving.
That's a different exactly.
It's a different kind of shopping, but I encourage you to go there and make a gift or a bunch of little gifts, however it works for you. And good luck with everything. We'll see you on the other side of
this year.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. And we hope that you get way up the leaderboard.
Yes.
And
23rd. Come on, folks.
We are giving prizes out thanks to Santa Cruz County Bank for most improved campaign and most donors as well.
All right. Well, let's do this thing. And all you have to do if you want that is to go to SantaCruzGives.org/KSQD. Thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Rachel Ann Goodman, and coming up next, it's Dr. Dawn Motika with her show. It'll be coming up just a moment with Ask Dr. Dawn. Meanwhile, we have First Person Singular, a wonderful program where local people can write their 120 words and say their say about anything they want to talk about. And thanks to the people who produce it, we will get to hear one of those right now. This is K-Squid Community Radio for the Monterey Bay. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. See you in a couple of weeks.